This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. Proverbs 13 and 20 says this. I memorized this verse years ago. It says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Let's pray. Jesus, I love you. I pray that you would anoint our lips of clay. I pray, God, that you would manifest yourself. You're so wonderful. What a beautiful name, the name of Jesus. There's no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved other than that wonderful name, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name. You come today and speak to us and through us. God, may the invitation be fruitful. And for all you do, we're going to bow our unworthy head and we're going to praise you. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about a question. Here's the question I pray that we would all ask ourselves today is, do you have the right friends? Do you have the right friends in your life? Friends are so vitally important. A preacher was preaching and he understood that 89% of everything that people learn is visual. So what people see is so important. And he wanted to do a visual illustration, and he said, congregation, everybody that wants to go to heaven, stand up. Well, that's a no-brainer. Everybody stood up, and then they sat down. And then the pastor said, everybody that wants to go to hell, stand up. And one little boy stood up. And the pastor said, son, you must have misunderstood me. I said, everybody that wants to go to hell, stand up. Why would you stand up? He said, pastor, I didn't want you standing alone. Amen? Well, nobody wants to stand alone. And nobody wants to be alone. That's why friendships are so important. The California Department of Mental Health said this, that you are two or three times more likely to die an early death if you isolate yourself from others. Two or three times more likely to die an early death. You say, I'm protecting myself. I'm closed off in a room. You may be killing yourself. If you isolate yourself from others, you're more likely to contract terminal cancer. That's what the California Department of Mental Health said. If you're a pregnant woman without good personal relationships, your chances of having some kind of complication are three times as great as those with strong relationships, even given the same amount of stress. Here's what's interesting. 25 years ago, if you ask people, how many close friends do you have? They said six. Today, if you ask people, how many close friends do you have? The answer is two. And 25% of Americans, one out of every four Americans say, I don't have one close friend. Now listen, we need friends, but we need to make sure we have the right friends. We need friends, young people, middle-aged people, recycled teenagers, whatever you are. We need to make sure that we have the right friends. Because, you know, experts tell us this. If you take your five closest friends, whoever they are, your five closest friends, you're an average of your five closest friends. You want to know where you are spiritually? You want to know where you are mentally? You want to know where you are financially? You want to know where you are emotionally? You want to know where you are physically? You're an average of your five closest friends. You're not at the top. You're not at the bottom. But you just find out who your five closest friends are, and you'll be an average of those five closest friends. That's why the Bible says, he that walketh with wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, I made up my mind years ago that I'm not smart enough to preach anything but the Bible. But let me hasten to say, I'm too smart to preach anything but the Bible. What we need, ladies and gentlemen, is God's Word. And I value your time. I value your time. And when we come to church, I'm going to give you God's Word. It's not going to be a sermonette for a Christianette who wants to get home in the kitchenette and quickly get a cigarette. No. I'm going to give you what God's Word says. Because the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of God shall stand forever. And God said, just preach the Word to people. You tell them what God's Word says. And so to the best of my ability, that's what I try to do, is give you what God's Word says. Now let me say, I try not to be boring. I try not to be boring, but I try to give people what God's Word says. There's some friends, ladies and gentlemen, that are the wrong friends for your life. I don't want to pick who your friend should be. I don't have the ability or authority or the withal to do that. But God tells every one of us some people that are wrong for our lives. No matter what your age is, these people are wrong for your lives. The first person, first people that would be wrong for your lives are people that like to gossip. People that like to gossip. Now I know what you're thinking. Pastor, if I walk away from them, I won't have any friends. I'm not talking about a person who said something. I'm talking about a person who gossip is a way of life. I'm talking about a person that just gossips. It's just a way of life for them. And this is all I want to say for now. I'd really like to pour into a young person if you'd come up close and listen to me. Young person, listen to me closely. If they'll talk with you, they'll talk about you. If they'll talk with you, they'll talk about you. You say, he or she's so fun, they just speak their mind. No. If they'll talk with you, they'll talk about you. Don't you ever think you're exempt because of who you are. By the way, that's an attitude of pride anyway. Look what the scripture says. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him. No. God said, don't you form friendships with gossips. That's not who you need to hang out with. Because if you start hanging out with gossips, before long, you'll be doing the same thing. Mildred was a church gossip. She monitored the church's morals. She always was sticking her nose in other people's business. Several of the members didn't approve of her extracurricular activities, but feared her enough to maintain their silence. However, one day she made a mistake. She accused George, a new member of the church, of being an alcoholic after she saw his old pickup parked in front of the town's only bar. She emphatically told George and several others that everyone seeing it there would know what he was doing. George was a man of few words. He stared at her for a moment, walked away. He didn't explain, he didn't defend, he didn't deny, he didn't say nothing. Just later that evening, George quietly parked his pickup in front of Mildred's house. walked home and left it there all night. Let me tell you, God said you don't need a close friend, people who just like to gossip. You don't need that. He said there's a second person you don't need as a close friend. That's people that are quick-tempered. And I'd say more than that. I would say a person that's just angry. They're just angry. They're always mad about something. They're just angry. Guy goes to the doctor and he says, Doc, you got to help me. I'm under a ton of stress. I keep losing my temper with people. The doctor said, well, sir, tell me about your problem. He said, I just did, didn't I, you stupid idiot? Look at what God's word says. Make no friendship with an angry man. Let me tell you something, folks. There's people who make a living out of keeping you angry. There's people who their whole agenda is just to keep you angry. Just to keep people angry. And the Bible says this, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why did God say don't do it? Don't you become friends with that person that's angry. Because guess what? You'll learn his ways and become just like him. Because angry people, mad people, there's certain people, they're just mad. They're just always mad about something. They're always angry. They're always upset. Something's always wrong. Something's always mad. One woman gets up and says, honey, what would you like for breakfast? He said, 2 eggs. She said, baby, how would you like them? 1 fried, 1 scrambled. She said, okay, darling. She brought them and placed them on the table and he could have sold them. She said, darling, what's wrong? He said, you scrambled the wrong one. Listen, folks, there are people that are always angry. They don't want to be happy. Some of you are too old to remember, but they're like Tommy Jones. That angry face is their happy face. Amen? Let me tell you the third people God says, don't you associate with. People that are unethical in business. People that are unethical in business. Henry Ford has said, a business that makes nothing but money is a poor business. Truett Cathy said, businesses are not dishonest or greedy. People are. Say, Pastor, where do you get that? I just get it out of the Bible. Think of great things we'll get, and we'll fill our houses with all the stuff we take. Come throw in your lot with us, and we'll share the loot. My child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their paths. Let me tell you something, folks. People that are unethical in business, you need to get away from. People that are unethical in business, you don't need to be doing business with. A dollar bill is the best yardstick for measuring the character of any individual. If a man or woman won't do right by a dollar bill, they won't do right by other areas in their lives. God's very clear. He said, you stay away from Mildred the gossip. You stay away from Harold the hothead. You stay away from people that are unethical in business. But he said, by the way, there's one other group I want you to stay away from. You stay away from people that are immoral. You stay away from people that are immoral. I said, what are you talking about? Well, look what the scripture says. I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators. Wait, let me explain. I'm not talking about a person who's messed up morally and is trying to recover and get back on their feet. The Bible's not talking about that. It's talking about that person who says they're a believer, but I'm going to live a sinful life. I'm a Christian, but yeah, I'm going to live a sinful life. You can read the scriptures on through 1 Corinthians 5, 9, and 11. And basically what it says, that man or that woman who says, yes, I'm a Christian, But fornication's a part of my life. Adultery's a part of my life. Drunkenness is a part of my life. I'm going to be that way. God said, no, no. That's not who your friends are. I said this. Let me say something to you. And I want you to listen very closely. You always remember this. I'm on a platform today. I try to the best of my ability never to refer to it as a stage, because a stage is perform. If we're performing, we're not here to perform. We're here to worship God and preach the word of God. We're not here to perform for anybody. So it's not a stage, it's just a platform. But if you walk up here right now, it's easier for you to pull me down than me to pick you up. If I take your hand, it's easier for you to pull me down than me to pull you up. You always remember it's very easy for people to pull you down. It's, I'm just going to hang out with them. No. They will pull you down. They will pull you down. He that walketh with wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. There's some friends, and they're the wrong friends for your life. And the Bible is very clear that you need to get away from them. But I want to say something to you folks. There's some right friends for your life too. And the Bible is very clear who they should be. See, this is what I say. We need to be friendly with everybody. I was in a Mexican restaurant last night. And I try, when I go to the Mexican restaurant, to speak to everybody. I've had, you know, my mind, sometimes I have some thoughts, you know, and I see people at the Mexican restaurant and they explain to me why they can't come to church. And I've said to my staff, I really believe we'd get more people in church if we'd get salsa and chips in the foyer. They're just explaining at the Mexican restaurant why I can't come to church, because it's so hazardous, such a risk. Well, what are you doing here, dummy? But the person with me said, do you speak to everybody? Yes, everybody. I just speak to, hey, how you doing? God bless you. She said, well, why do you do that? I said, they may go to the church. They may go to the church. Now, if I know they're real negative and they go to the church, I'll hide out. Because I don't have time to hear about all the problems going on in their life, so I'll kind of duck out. But see, we need to be friendly with everybody, but we don't need to be friends with everybody. You need to be friendly with everybody, but you don't need to be friends with everybody. But David had some friends. David had three friends that he needed. And by the way, folks, David had three friends that you need and I need. First of all, there was Samuel. Samuel was a friend. He's a friend who believes in you. We all need a friend who believes in us. See, we need a friend who just encourages us. We need a friend who we just know believes in us. We need a friend who will believe in us, because there are going to be times when you won't believe in yourself, and you need somebody who just believes in you. You just need somebody who believes in you. You remember God had rejected Saul from being the king, and he said to Samuel, go down to Jesse's house. Go down there and anoint the king. And you know the story. Jesse sends all those boys out there. The oldest comes out there first. He's got a massive chest, bulging biceps, strong, robust guy, similar to myself. And the Bible says that Samuel said to Jesse, no, that's not him. And he sends seven out there. Jesse says, it's got to be one of these. And Samuel says, no, it's not. And Samuel says, do you have any more children? He said, there's one more. Now, folks, let me just say this. Jesse didn't say, I've got one more boy. Jesse didn't even believe in his son. Folks, it's sad when parents, as parents, we don't believe in our children. It's sad. He said, don't you have another son? He said, yes. His name's David. And he walked out. And God said to Samuel, that's him. When others saw a shepherd boy, God saw a king. God said, that's him. And let me tell you, from that point, Samuel saw David just like God saw David. So he believed in him. And he took the oil and he anointed him with oil to be the next king. Let me tell you something. Mark Twain said, keep away from people who try to belittle your ambitions. Small people always do that. But the really great people make you feel that you too can become great. I'll tell you something. We need people in our lives. We need a Samuel in our lives that will believe in us. You need a Samuel in your life that will believe in you. My goodness. I'd call Savannah Abigail and I'd say, how's the prettiest girl in the world doing? How's the smartest girl in the world doing? We need to believe. We need somebody to believe in us. I'll tell you something, I've told you 1,000 times, but I had 2 stepfathers. One said I was an ignorant, illegitimate child that would never amount to anything. The other one looked at me and said, you can go to Bible college. I said, I can't go to Bible college. I struggled in school. I was a part of the bottom half that made the top half possible. I flunked classes, but got enough credits to graduate. He said, if you'll go to college, get this. If you'll go to college, every degree you'll complete, I'll pay for. Every degree you'll complete, I'll pay for. Every degree you complete, I'll pay for. So I went through an associate's, a bachelor's, a master's, and a doctorate. All degrees he paid for. All degrees he paid for. This is only to boast in God. I never made nothing but an A all the way through Bible college. I never made nothing but an A. All the way through Bible college. Don't you tell me that there's not power in somebody believing in you. And we need a Samuel that believes in us. But I'll tell you something else. We need a Jonathan. He's a friend who helps you spiritually. You know the story. David killed Goliath, and then the people started singing, Saul's killed his thousands and David's killed his 10,000s. You remember what swelled up in Saul's heart? He got jealous. Let me tell you something. Jealousy will destroy you. Jealousy will destroy every relationship that you're involved in. And I've learned that jealousy has nothing to do with the person. It has everything to do with us. He was so jealous. And Saul said, I'll kill David. When David was in the woods at an all-time low, get this. Jonathan, who was Saul's son, came to David and said, I'm your friend. How many times, folks, do we dislike somebody just because somebody close to us dislikes them? How many times do we say, oh, no, I don't like him. You don't even know him. You don't even know her. You're disliking them on the basis of what somebody else said. Not even your own relationship. You formed your opinion on the basis of somebody else's opinion. The Bible says that Jonathan came to David and their souls was as one. They were knit together, and it says he strengthened his hand in God. Here's what I know, folks. If we're going to live a Christian life, we need somebody to come alongside us to strengthen our hand in God. We need somebody to come alongside us to strengthen us spiritually. Everybody needs a Samuel to believe in you. Everybody needs a Jonathan who just help you spiritually, because Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpeneth iron, so does the countenance of a friend. You know what church is about? According to Titus, church ought to be about older women pouring into younger women and teaching them how to be godly women, teaching them how to love their husbands, teaching them how to love God. So we need a Samuel. We need a Jonathan. But lastly, folks, we need a Nathan. And that's a friend who will tell you the truth. Norman Vincent Peale said the problem with most of us is we'd rather be ruined by praise than saved by criticism. We'd rather be ruined by praise as saved by criticism. And here's what I want you to realize. The more successful you are, the higher you rise in any organization, the harder it will be for somebody to tell you the truth. But we're at a dangerous place when nobody can tell us no. We're at a dangerous place in life when nobody can tell us no. Let me tell you a story and I'll close. David, the Bible says the kings went forth to battle. And the Bible says David tarried in Jerusalem. When he should have been on the battlefield, he was resting. When he should have had his armor on, he didn't put the armor on. You know when we get in trouble? When we don't put on the armor of God. We get in trouble when we tarry in Jerusalem. And David walked out there one day, and he saw a woman bathing. She was out there bathing. She was a combination of Wonder Woman and Betty Crocker. She was out there bathing. She was a beautiful woman. Beautiful woman. You said, Preacher Benny, you don't know she was a beautiful woman. Yes, I do. Because the devil won't tempt you with an ugly woman. And the devil's not going to tempt you with an ugly man while I'm on it. She was a beautiful woman. And David said, get her for me. And they spent some time together. And a little time elapsed. And she said, Dave, we need to talk. He said, talk. What we need to talk about? She said, King, I'm pregnant. See, a little bit of sin is like a little bit of pregnant. It will eventually show up. She said, Dave, I'm pregnant. He thought about it. And see, this is what happens with sin, folks. With sin, we do one of two things. We cover it. But when we cover it, God uncovers it. But the good news is when we uncover it, God covers it. When we uncover it, God covers it. And Dave said, I got a plan. The devil will give you a plan. And he said, have her husband come home from the battlefield. Have Uriah come home. Uriah gets home. He says, Uriah, go down there and spend the night with your wife. You'll really enjoy it. The next morning, he sees Uriah and he said, did you have a good time with your wife? He said, King, I slept in the yard. He said, you did what? He said, yeah. I'm an integrous man. It wouldn't be right for me to go in there and with the soldiers on the battlefield. I can't do that. David said, my goodness. David then said to Joab, put him on the front line. Put him on the front line where nobody's ever lived. And he put Uriah on the front line in the battle. And he was killed just like David planned. David, a murderer, liar, deceiver, adulterer. And God said something. He said, Nathan, I want you to do something. Go down to David's house. Nathan said, I'll go. He gets down there and Nathan says, hey, David. He says, hey, prophet. He said, David, let me tell you a story. There was two men. One of them was filthy rich. He owned a big ranch. He had all kinds of animals, sheep, cattle, you name it. He had it all. But he said there was one that was just as poor. He was so poor. He had one little lamb. He bottle fed the lamb. He slept with the lamb. He treated the lamb like a child. He said, my goodness. He said there was a man coming through the area. He was coming through the area and wanted something to eat. And he said, let me tell you what that rich man did. He owned all these animals, but he took that poor man's one animal and killed it and made a meal out of it for that man. Man, when David heard that, he was angry. He said, that guy's going to restore fourfold and he's going to die. He deserves to die. And Nathan said, David, come up real close. You're the man. You're the man. And that's when Psalms 51 happened. Have mercy, David said, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Get this, folks. You better make sure you've got a Nathan in your life who'll tell you the truth. I just don't know how to tell you this, Pastor. I just don't love my wife anymore. I just don't love her anymore. You know what? You need somebody in your life who'll look at you and say, Bob, you don't love her anymore? I got one question, Bob. Who are you loving? Who are you loving? We better make sure, folks, you've got somebody in your life. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You got to make sure you've got somebody in your life who'll tell you the truth. That's not intimidated by you. That's not just a happy clappy. That wants to go along and get along. And is always telling you how wonderful you are. Oh, it's good to have a Jonathan. It's good to have a Samuel. But you need a Nathan in your life also. I'm done. Made everybody in the building mad. But look here. You say, Pastor, you're right. I need a Nathan. I need a Samuel. I need a Jonathan. Where am I going to find people like that? In God's house. In God's house. And that's why every person ought to be in a small group as we launch them this week. Why should I be in a small group? Because you need a Nathan. You need a Samuel. And you need a Jonathan. Now, if you give me 2 minutes, I'm finished. But I preach this, challenging people to get into small groups and challenging people about friendship. But I feel guilty. I feel guilty. If I preach this and don't tell you about my very best friend. There's somebody that I talk to more than I talk to anybody else. I have more conversations with him than I have with anybody else. See, I've let a lot of people down. And a lot of people have let me down. But Jesus has never let me down. And there's never been a friend like Jesus. At my lowest times, he's been there. The good times, he's been there. Always had a plan, always had a purpose. I never will forget one time. The church I pastored before coming here, I got elected pastor. The story is, three men turned it down. Three men turned the church down before I became pastor. And I was at a real low. And I said, God, just low. I said, I was their fourth choice. Did you ever feel like you were the fourth choice? I was their fourth choice. And God said, that's okay. Because you were my first choice. And look, you're God's first choice. God doesn't love anybody any more than he loves you. You're so special to him, and there's never been a friend like Jesus has always been. An old preacher named Charles Waggle, he was an evangelist. He traveled, he preached, he tried to do his best. And he came home, and his wife had left him. A preacher trying to preach, and your wife leaves you. And he said, I thought multiple times about suicide. Multiple times I thought about suicide. But he said, during the lowest part of my life, God came to me. And he gave me the words of a song that I wrote in 20 minutes. Here's the song. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one has ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Oh, how much, ladies and gentlemen, he cares for every one of us.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.